Whether you're the casual hockey observer or the epitome of a rabid Hawks fan, Blackhawks Live answers all your questions.
You know, they obviously turned up the heat on us, and we just kind of clammed up. I didn't think we were moving our feet.
Joe Brand delivers the news, notes, and everyday gossip from the Madhouse on Madison. Here's Joe Brand.
And here is our final Blackhawks Live of the 2023-2024 season. We're actually planning on providing some more content throughout the offseason. Stay tuned for that. We always do, but looking at more Blackhawks Live-related content. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. A big thanks to all those of you tuning in all year long, whether it's on Blackhawks Live, the Blackhawks actual broadcast brought to you by John Weideman and Troy Murray, and of course all listeners of WGN Radio. But it has come to a close, year two of this rebuild. And is the rebuild actually over? Do we get to the building part now? I think when people think of the term rebuild, they automatically assume it ends once the championship banner is raised. But what the Blackhawks are doing, rebuilding, are we done with that? Probably not until after this draft, but what about after that? Where is this organization ready to move forward towards? What are goals, what are standards for this team next year and moving forward? We got a little bit of clarity from that. We got a little bit of clarity of that from Kyle Davidson and Luke Richardson Saturday afternoon at the end of the year press conference. We also heard from many players, more than a handful, definitely more than last year. But I think there were a lot more players that had something to say because they are a bigger part for the future for this organization. Last year was a lot of guys out the door, probably knew, saw the writing on the wall that they would not be Blackhawks for the following season. This year, there was a lot said. And as I was just talking with John Hansen during crosstalk, the players were pretty honest. And I do encourage that from athletes, especially at the pro level, at its highest form, because that's what fans want the most. If a team loses, I can guarantee you the fan wants to hear the pain in the voice from the player just as much as the fan felt that pain. And this was a tough year for this Blackhawks roster. There were a lot of fun moments. Connor Bedard looked great. Alex Vlasic looked great. Kevin Korchinski looked great at times, had some growing pains, but a 19-year-old in the NHL, I'm still very excited about his future. Peter Mrazek looked great. Jason Dickinson had a career year. Nick Foligno quickly became a fan favorite and will be for the next 2 years after signing an extension. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do exactly what my sixth grade English teacher told me not to do when writing a paper. It's kind of funny. Growing up in school, we were taught to write papers with the first paragraph telling us everything we were going to explain to you in the paper. It was like, I'm going to teach you how to fish. First, I'm going to tell you what to buy for fishing. Then I'm going to tell you how to bait a lure. Then I'm going to tell you how to catch the fish. And that is what I'm going to do with this paper, tell you how to go fishing. And then all of a sudden in sixth grade, we did that. And the teacher's like, who taught you to do this? This isn't how you write papers. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go over the good stuff that happened this year with the Blackhawks. We're going to go over the bad stuff. And yes, there was more bad stuff than good stuff. But then we're going to go into how Luke Richardson, Kyle Davidson, and a few leaders on this team plan to fix the bad stuff. And then we wrap things up with Jack's last thoughts. Jack's last thoughts here on the last Blackhawks Live of the year. So let's start off with the good stuff. Start off on a high note. And we'll actually start off with our curveball shot of the week. It's time to cue the shot, brought to you by Curveball Whiskey.
Reichel breaking into the King Zone. Now the slot shoots. He scores! Lucas Reichel darted between the two Kings defenders. got to a loose puck and walked it in on Talbot, beat him with a backhand. It's the Hawks 1 and the Kings no score.
Cue the Shot is brought to you by Curveball, the original barbecue whiskey. Join the Bonehead Nation today at curveballwhiskey.com. That's Curveball with a K, K-U-R-V-B-A-L-L whiskey.com. It's a cool twist on whiskey with a little hint of barbecue. Great for tailgating and summer events and, of course, barbecuing this summer. Go check it out. We chose that as our cue shot of the week because Lucas Reichel probably did exactly what he needed to do in the last game of the year. He picked up a goal. He was able to end the year on a high note, which was a very rough year for him. But the way he scored the goal, the fact that he did score the goal, and he also just helped his case heading into Rockford where he's going to compete for the playoffs, hopefully with some extra confidence. If you didn't see the goal, he kind of chipped it to himself in the neutral zone. There were a couple of Kings players on each side, but he knew what he had to do. He chipped it to himself, used his speed, used his puck handling skills, and then just darted in and scored a goal on the last game of the season. Something we really did not see from him for the majority of this year. Big reason why he was a healthy scratch a handful of times. Big reason why he was sent back down to Rockford for a handful of games. He was chatting with Darren Pang in the first intermission after scoring that goal, and Panger wanted to talk about what was going on through his mind, the fact that he knew he had to do that to get around the two defenders. And he said, you know, I really wasn't thinking, I just did. And that's exactly what you want from Lucas Reichel in that situation. So we'll keep a close eye on him throughout Rockford's playoffs. Hopefully it's a long playoff run so that he, Wyatt Kaiser, Drew Commesso, Jackson Stauber, and all those other guys down in Rockford, Colton Dock, Nolan Allen, Ethan Del Mastro, can play some heavy competition games. Gain that experience, build extra confidence, and play in some high competition games that they weren't able to at the NHL level. A few other things that went well this year, Connor Bedard really enjoyed his first year here in Chicago.
Yeah, it's special. You know, couldn't be more kind of grateful for everything this year that the fans did. And right when I got drafted, it was so much support. And we know it was a tough year, but support we got never wavered. And it exceeded my expectations by a long way. And my expectations were pretty high. So,
Kyle Davidson had similar things to say about the Blackhawks fans and similar things to say about Connor Bedard's season. I really don't want to go too much into Bedard's first year because we know it. We know how good he was. He'll probably have some hardware pretty soon just to show how good it was. But the fact that he's falling in love with Chicago, enjoying his time here, feeding off the energy at the United Center, that's a great sign. That's what you want to see. And again, other than Nick Foligno, Jason Dickinson, Peter Mrazek, that's kind of all the good we can talk about. This was a rough year. The Hawks actually finished worse in the overall standings this year than they did last year when they won the draft lottery. Will that help them in the draft? Absolutely. Is it a worst-case scenario? What happened this year for the Hawks? Probably not when you consider where they are in the rebuild. If there's a time to quote-unquote bottom out, it definitely was last year, but it ended up working out for the Hawks anyway. But there's some pretty big prizes in the draft once again this year. And even if they don't win the lottery, which again is difficult to do, 13.5% to get the number one overall pick, the Hawks will get a good player. But before we go too much into the future, let's talk about what happened this year. What went wrong so that the Hawks can improve and move past this for next year? What went wrong with the Chicago Blackhawks next here on WGN Radio? Once again, getting teleported into our second segment here of Blackhawks Live. I'm Joe Brand. We are wrapping up the season of Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. And we talked about some of the good stuff. Now we unfortunately have to get into the bad stuff. Things that didn't go well for the Hawks this year. And clearly it was a lot. They finished only above the San Jose Sharks in the overall standings. Again, that does help them in their draft situation. But it's draining on these players. The first two people to talk on Saturday were Tyler Johnson and Seth Jones, two guys that were brought in 3 years ago, coming over into a team that had Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, just recently acquired Marc-Andre Fleury, Jake McCabe, and it was all about keeping that window open for just a little bit longer. Seth Jones was traded over for Columbus and signed an extension. Tyler Johnson came over in the Brent Seabrook deal so that Tampa had some flexibility with their salary cap, and the Hawks got a very valuable forward that found his way in the fourth line for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but had so many different roles and responsibilities here with the Hawks. But Tyler Johnson did not hide the fact how difficult it was for these 3 years with all the losing. And even just talking about the playoffs started to get him a little bit more amped up. And basically said that's going to be his number one priority for this offseason because he wants to get back to a winning team. Seth Jones was very transparent about the fact that maybe he wouldn't be a Chicago Blackhawk had he known where the organization was going. He didn't blame anybody. He even said how much he respects the Blackhawks front office and top brass for what they're doing right now, everything they're doing in the right direction, but it is a totally different situation than what he signed up for. But there was something that he and Nick Foligno talked about that they both agreed this team needs. And we'll start with what Seth Jones had to say about it, but it was about players who have an identity, and it goes a little bit further than just what they bring to the ice.
I don't think it's something you develop. I think it's something that you want to have, you want to do. You have to want to go be F1 and go hit that defenseman. Go be F2. You're not going to touch the puck probably, but you're going to make that guy's life hell. You know. So and when you do that every single shift, and you always do the right thing, it's not easy to play against. And we don't want to be an easy team to play against. So you have to want to block a shot. You have to want to do the right thing. You know, even though it's not the glory thing to do. It's not the goal. It's not the saucer pass. I think we need a little bit more of that kind of grit in our game that you saw a team like Nashville have when we played them, you know, a few weeks ago against us. And they're every single shift, you know exactly what they're doing. You can't do anything about it.
It was basically about needing the entire team to buy into the team system, which, yes, it's difficult with so many young players, but that is a lot of what went wrong this year. And inconsistency and slow starts. We do get a little bit of a solution for that, which we'll get to eventually. But I do want to play what Nick Foligno had to say about the situation because, again, he is just very good at calling things out for how they are.
You need characters. I actually learned that from Torts, who's a character himself. But he was really good about that. He's like, you know, I don't want all the same players. I like when there's a guy who's got a little swagger to him, or it's important in a group, right? Like, you don't want all the same type of mindsets. You need to have a little bit of friction in there sometimes, and guys that don't maybe see things the same way, because you sometimes do need different views and opinions, and that's the beauty of a team, right? Is that you're a collective group coming together for the same goal, but different kinds of walks of life and different ways that they got there. And I think sometimes you need a little snarl or a different kind of, you know, not a jerk, but just somebody that brings juice. I always talk about you need juice. You need mojo, a guy that brings energy. And I think you can never have enough of those guys. And they're hard to find. They are. They're hard to find. When they walk in a room, you kind of know who they are. They're loud, or they bring a presence to them. And they're important to a group. You don't need 100 of them, but you definitely need a few, especially in probably where we're at in our, you know, spot right now. The more the merrier, probably, in a lot of ways. So that is important. I think it's also something that you can pull out of yourself, you know? It's not just, it doesn't have to be just something, it's an acquired ability too. So, because again, you're doing it for the collective good of the group, right? And everyone has different ways of doing it. Some guys are just play drivers. I play with guys that, you don't have to talk, but the way they play, they might be the quietest guy in the room, but they play like animals. And then there's guys that are really energetic in the room, and it kind of carries on to the ice. So they're called play drivers in the sense that they pull you into the fight. And I don't think there's ever enough of those guys on a team. And it's amazing when you have a lot of those teams how hard they are to play against. There are a lot of those guys on the team how hard they are to play against.
I tweeted that clip out, and a handful of people started talking about Max Domi, which I totally understand. Domi seemed to be that guy in his short time here in Chicago. You know who else that reminds me of when he was talking about it, though, was Joey Anderson and Colin Blackwell. I gained a lot more appreciation for Colin Blackwell this year because of all the adversity that he faced. He really benefited from it this year. And whether or not he continues with the Blackhawks, I don't quite know if his value would be shown as much if he didn't show what he had gone through this year. Missing pretty much the entire offseason to get ready for this year because of setback after setback, and then it infiltrating training camp, and then he finally comes back in December, I believe, and he comes out firing on all cylinders. And he said he's kind of glad that he was able to show how he could perform under that type of adversity, because he has shown that he's going to do whatever it takes for the team. Exactly the type of thing that Nick Foligno and Seth Jones were talking about. And Joey Anderson, kind of the same situation except without the adversity. Shows by example, one of the quieter guys in the room, but man, did he pull through this year. More on this and how to fix it all next on Blackhawks Live, but first, Steve Ruxton for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. The Blackhawks regular season has come to a close. The playoffs have already begun. A couple of series actually starting tonight. It's already been fun having playoff game after playoff game after playoff game. We were talking about that before this show started, me and Jack Heinrich. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Another big thanks to all of you that tuned in all year long as we recap this rough year record-wise for the Chicago Blackhawks, but definitely still a lot to be looking forward to with the future of this organization. The upcoming draft should be another exciting and fulfilling one. Two first-round picks once again. And then come training camp, it'll be very interesting to see how this roster looks. What type of identity pieces have the Blackhawks added, like Nick Foligno and Seth Jones had talked about? What types of free agents come here? We got a lot of sound from Kyle Davidson, who I want to get to eventually, but just to kind of summarize a little bit of it in terms of the free agency, he is still sticking to his guns about you have to respect this rebuild. You have to respect everything that he has already done. And you don't want to just jump the gun just because it looks fun to get a flashy free agent, sign him for a long-term deal, lock him in, and here we go next year. There are raised standards for next season. There are more goals. But you also have to look at what went wrong this year and clean up some of those things before just assuming acquisitions and adding will fix everything. Again, it was tough to endure all the growing pains this year with so many young players. And it's tough to do that because you want to mold these guys the right way. You don't want to be too hard on them, but you don't want to be too soft on them either. And I do think that there is a difference between this past year and this upcoming year in terms of what you're telling these guys, what you're preaching to these guys, and how you're approaching them. We talked about this towards the end of the year, how working with a 19-year-old Kevin Korchinski is a unique thing because he's the youngest defenseman in the NHL. He's at a different stage of his life than everybody else. He also went through a pretty rough family matter, losing his father. That plays a factor in his NHL growth. It just does. But you have to balance teaching him, molding him, and working his confidence the right way. But there has to be accountability. And Nick Foligno kind of summarized how it was difficult to hold the accountability this year.
Accountability starts from the top and then works its way down, and then it's the players can hold each other accountable because of that. So I do think there's an area that we can grow there. And accountability is tough because sometimes they're hard conversations. And I will say that this year, I don't know if we were ready to be as accountable as we needed to be with a lot of things that went on. There's almost so many other things that we had to worry about as opposed to that. But I think that is one of the areas that has to improve and will improve, because there is a standard now of this can't happen. And when you have that mindset that everyone believes that, then you just don't allow yourself to fall backwards. And that's where our group has to understand and get to, is that the standard here has to go way up. And that's from everybody, top to bottom. Players, staff, personnel, coaches, everybody. And if we have that mindset, then the accountability almost takes care of itself. But it's the, one of the most important things in a culture and a team, and the greats have it.
Kyle Davidson couldn't answer whether or not the Hawks will have a captain next year. Seth Jones didn't have an answer for that. Nick Foligno didn't have an answer for that. So it might be some time to find out if the Hawks will have a captain next year or they're just going to do the same thing. But Nick Foligno is quite the leader to have in that dressing room, no matter what letter or lack of letter is on his sweater. And I think you have different leaders in different ways in Nick Foligno, in Seth Jones, Connor Murphy, and Jason Dickinson, too. Jason Dickinson took a big step forward this year. We talked to him all the way at the beginning of the year, and he mentioned how different the locker room was with Taves and Kane not there anymore. Because you get new young kids in, and they see these legends, and they'll gravitate to them, which is fine, which is understood. Some of the other guys that have been around the league for a handful of years, and this isn't, you know, their first rodeo in the NHL, when do they talk up? Are they allowed to talk up? Jonathan Toews always seemed like a guy that was always allowing anyone to speak. I think Mackenzie Entwistle was talking about how he felt he could approach the room if needed as a rookie. But it's still a different standard when Toews and Kane are in your room. And Jason Dickinson had said earlier this year that that had allowed him to take a step forward as a leader with Taves and Kane no longer being there. But he also understands the type of leadership role that Nick Foligno holds. And in this clip, he eventually talks about Luke Richardson's leadership as well.
Yeah, Nick has done a good job of talking through the group and making sure that the young guys understand what we're doing some nights wasn't acceptable. So he took his role really seriously, and he wanted to be that voice. He wanted to help correct things because he knew what he was seeing wasn't right, and he's been around for a while, so he's seen a whole lot of things, and he wants to help guys get there. And I think he's really passionate, and he's taken that job on in spades, and he's maybe wearing it a bit too much on his sleeves at times, because it definitely takes a toll on him having to be that guy and having to do all that. So maybe some of us could take it off his plate every now and then, but he does such a good job at it. It's hard to step in sometimes and just, you know, kind of let him do it. And Luke he's had to lay the hammer on us a couple times. There's obviously been some unacceptable nights, far too many, and you know, we've had a couple of tough practices that he's pushed us through that I love seeing. I love that stuff. I think creating that compete, creating that fire is something that I would love to see more of at times, and have guys really battle from the start of the season, from camp, like day one. Let's get battle going right away to create competition amongst us so that when we get into a game, you know, I know that this guy is ready to go because he and I laid it on the line in practice together.
Jason Dickinson's not the only guy that enjoyed those tough practices. I remember Connor Bedard, after one of the tough ones, which came after a rough loss, talking about how much he enjoyed it too. I remember one time Wyatt Kaiser kind of going at Connor Bedard in practice, and then both of them just shrugging their shoulders after. No, that's hockey. That's what we do. That's what we're in the trenches for. So don't be surprised if you hear or see about more of those type of intense practices, because even Luke Richardson thinks that it's probably a good idea for next year.
Yeah, and it was, that was probably harder to do this year because of our injury situation, and you know, we were just trying to you know, compete and survive at certain times this year. But, you know, that's the way it's got to be. And I think that's the only way that you can coach and learn. And that's why hockey is the best sport in the world for a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. And it's always been known for that. And I think that goes along with the accountability, and not just from coaches, but from the inner flux within themselves. And that's the best team that you have, if you can have that. You know, I think, you know, I mean, going forward with that, you know, we have to do that probably even more. And as we're building, we have to, you know, demand more from the players and them themselves from each other and them us. They have to hold us accountable too. I think, you know, this is good. We've had some conversations this year about practice. Maybe we do practice a little shorter but harder next year. And it gets us ready for, so every time we step on the ice, it's they're known it's going to be go. It's 100 miles an hour and it's competitive. And there's no easing into practice, because sometimes, you know, you start a game and subconsciously you're like, oh, I'm going to ease into the game, and it's 3-0. And we know how hard it is for a team like us that sometimes is challenged to score goals, to play from behind. That's a lot of energy. And even if you catch up, then maybe you fall off at the end. And, you know, I thought we saw that this year a little bit. So I think for us to be ready to start every game and to continue that compete level through the game to the end of the game, I think we need that a little bit more in practice next year. And that's probably on the coaches to demand that a little more. But then it's on the players to complete that and execute it.
Now that a lot of these guys have their first games, their first year, their first goals under their belt, I think now you're going to see a little bit more aggression with working these guys at practice, with expecting more from them, because it's no longer a, gee, golly, guess we're here in the NHL, how cool. And not like it was always like that. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. But I think it makes more sense now to turn it up a gear, turn it up a notch. And those types of practices remind me of what I heard about Joel Quenneville's practices. Short, but hard-nosed and to the point. You're here to work, let's get our work in, and we're done. And somebody on the text line asking, how long did it take to rebuild with the Blackhawks under Joel Quenneville? It's kind of apples and oranges. Because if you want to compare Connor Bedard's arrival to Kane and Taves' arrival, Kane and Taves joined an already very good team. They were kind of like the last pieces. And even Joel Quenneville was just kind of plopped in there, replacing Dennis Savard. There's not always a right recipe to build. If you want to call it a dynasty, okay. If there were, everyone would do it. And everyone would follow the plans to a T. But according to everyone who talked on Saturday, including the guy who has some of the most power in the organization, this team is ready to take a step forward, and that's what Kyle Davidson had to say.
Yeah, I think that's as we stand here today, it's probably really hard to put a pinpoint on, but there needs to be a progression. You know, I don't know how many points or standing slots that is, but we can't finish second last in the league. I think the standard has to be raised. The expectation has to be raised. Through that, accountability will be raised. And so, you know, and that's the nature of the path we're on. Eventually, we have to start making positive steps. And I think we've reached that point. You know, I'm not saying that we're going to be competing for playoffs or Stanley Cups or anything this next year. I don't know how realistic that is. It's the best league in the world, best players and best teams in the world. And so to say we're just going to improve a whole great deal in the standings is difficult, but we need to be better. And it's time to take a step forward. You know, last year we finished... previous to this year, we finished third last. We finished second last. That can't happen again. We need to start moving up and onward. And so that's the exciting part of the process. Is that, you know what? It may not be a huge leap, but there has to be some positive momentum to be carried forward starting next year.
So accountability will be the big word the magic word, the secret word. We don't have to go all Pee-wee's Playhouse on it, but that'll be the big word next year for this Blackhawks team. We've got the last Jack's last thoughts next here on our last Blackhawks Live 720 WGN. It's always a bummer that this show isn't still weekly during the summer, because summertime in Chicago, being out here in our beautiful Skyline studio, maybe a walk down the Riverwalk after the show, I could get used to that. Well, no one's stopping me from doing it anyway. We're wrapping up Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. I'm Joe Brand. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. And this is the last Jack's Last Thoughts. Jack, really quick, let me just, I say it behind the scenes. I don't say it on the air enough. You're an absolute pro, man. Love working with you. Appreciate all your hard work. I say it all the time. I ask you to do something one time, and I'll never have to ask you to do it again. Thank you so much, man.
No, I appreciate it, Joe. It's a lot of fun. You're easy to work with, and even though the year, I guess, on the ice wasn't as great, I felt like off the ice was still a lot of fun, and I'm glad we still got three more years of seeing this rebuild through as we're hopefully ascending. And like you said, we'll try to get some stuff. I mean, the weather's great, but this is a big summer for the Hawks, too.
It is. It is, and I'm really looking forward to the draft. I'm really looking forward to the draft lottery, free agency, and yeah, I mean, that was the other thing. Like, I was excited to get the year over with so we could get to next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we could start all over, get a healthy Taylor Hall, see what types of moves are made, and really get rolling next year.
Yeah, so they're sending up, and just a final look at the standings. Like you said, Joe, the Hawks finished second to last. The Ducks were third to last. And then the Blue Jackets were fourth to last. And then the Sharks were the worst team. So Hawks are guaranteed top four pick. And they've got a little better odds this year for that first pick, or in a little lower spot for this first pick. So we'll see when that is. I don't think they've set a lottery date yet.
I want to say it's like May 7th or 8th or something.
It's like between 2 days, I think, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. That's kind of weird. They would
yeah.
just have that.
So hopefully we find soon. But yeah, so the Hawks finished down there with the playoffs starting, and they're hoping to turn that around. This came just a couple hours ago. Lindy Ruff, the former Devils coach, is going back to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where he's been he's a stalwart at that organization. A coach for 16 years. He played for 9 years.
It does surprise me how much the NHL recycles head coaches, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was there for 16 years, but it says, I'm reading this article from The Athletic from Matthew Fairburn, and it says they've used 7 different head coaches since they fired him in 2013. So I guess they decided to come back to bring in Lindy back, but yeah.
See, but now the interesting thing is, I wonder if Patrick Kane is thinking about Buffalo, and mm-hmm. I wonder if this affects it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to connect it, and I mean, he's a free agent, so you never know. That's always been, is he ever going to go back?
Did you see the comments between Patrick Kane had about Detroit?
I heard it a little bit. I was actually watching like the Tigers game this week, and they had on the TV broadcaster, and they were kind of talking about Kane a little bit.
It was just all very past tense. Like, they got a real good group. It just seemed like that door was closed.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's another thing to watch, too. I know Hawks, it seems like the Hawks shut the door, but I mean, you never know. And maybe this makes him move over there. And then one last quick one. I don't know if you saw the show. There's 2 Canes fans that skipped prom to go to the playoff game.
Yeah.
But I saw this tweet later that said they actually left last minute and made it to prom. But I just thought that was funny that they're there and then they booked
it. Yeah, no, good for them for doing both.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean,
hey, they got their photo op.
That's a heck of a day.
I mean, we're talking about on Chicago radio.
There you go.
So they made their mark.
They went viral. I know that was their goal to make it on the show, but
yeah,
nothing gets by me.
Congratulations,
so
kids. You did it. You made it.
Yeah, so that's a fun one to end the year.
Jack, great stuff, man. Thanks again for all your help.
Yep, thank you.
That is Jack Heinrich. I'm Joe Brand. Big thanks to everyone. Thanks to the Blackhawks for all the guests that we had this year, and thank you most of all to you, the listener. John Landecker is next after Steve Ruxton's news. Have a great summer. We'll talk to you on Blackhawks Live online and WGNRadio.com.